a song.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah?
I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. No one will be lost. No one will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. And dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world, to fulfill that promise. Let us all unite. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, tell you what to do, what to think and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men, with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines, you are men. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful. Let us use that power to make this life a wonderful adventure. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world, to fulfill that promise. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world to do away with greed. A world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Do not despair, the hate of men will pass, and dictators die. Dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Will return to the people. Let us all unite.
Let us all unite.
Yeah, some difficulties here. It is a Sunday show. Gwenny, my friend Gwenny, she's feeling under the weather. She got the flu-like symptoms. And so she asked me, I would be Pinko the Bear. She asked me if I wanted to fill in. I said, well, I don't know about that. But then P.E. Nolan says, yeah, we could do it together. And we went down to Nicole Tomasini's house, and we're sitting around drinking wine on a Sunday afternoon, smoking cigarettes, and thought we would do the Sunday show.
All right.
Trish, what's up? Oh, excuse me. P.E. Nolan.
All right. I can be Trisha in audio, not in writing.
Yeah.
But it's night. It's not afternoon.
It's nighttime in New York City.
We're not in Reno.
No, we ain't in Reno anymore. So here we are on the Sunday show, and we're maybe going to talk about politics. And but, you know, I am outnumbered 2-1 here. These young ladies want to talk about sex, baby. We want to talk about... So, evidently, we're going to talk about, a sex-positive environment?
Well, yeah, because we all started because my mother didn't like that I said put me in the blog.
You used words to say your mother read?
Yeah, and I made the choice to use the word pussy, even though I know my mother doesn't like it when I say words like that. On account of that, I think that it would be a better world if everybody was happy about having sex all the time and as much sex as they possibly could have with each other and energetically connect, I guess, to another level of...
sexiness?
Yes.
I'm so glad I'm here to fill in the blanks.
Well, and you said that you use that word for a reason, you know, on purpose. And I think I'm a big advocate of being able to use whatever word, you know, if you use that word and you're an adult, you're making a decision, and that's the vibration I'm looking to put into this. And why does it have to have, like, any kind of connotation that a lot of people would think of, you know, to sort of make that idea a little broader, a little more flexible, if you will, you know?
I'm pleased that you used the word vibrate already in the show when we're talking about sex. That said, I'm
and
going
flexible,
to...
like flexible, like vaginas.
Flexible is important, too.
Like, like vaginas.
And I'm sure there's a political connection to all of this.
Well, there is.
And we'll get to that. I'm sure this is a very well thought out show. You really... It's going to be something. I'm going to get some more wine and let Nicole and Miss Nolan talk about sex, baby.
Great pouring noise. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Well, this topic is interesting to me because I like what you said earlier, Trish, about, you know, having this idea of what does it mean to be sex positive? What does it mean to not be in,
Well, you know, first heard the term sex positive as a man. But it all had to do with Burning Man.
2 months.
Yeah.
Two months
but
ago?
I immediately
I immediately took to the idea
Of being sex positive because being raised as a woman, frequently a lot of your sexuality is oppressed and demonized. So
it's service oriented.
Yes, say that, yeah,
same thing.
You know. And,
not necessarily,
but it could be.
Because
there are
nice girls from Texas are taught certain things, right?
Nice girls from everywhere are taught certain things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, just you know, my last picture show about Texas, but
I should probably say you mentioned. Use the word the menopausal stoners. It's blogspot.menopausalstoners.com.
There's only one.
And it's a great spray, actually, that has this, you know.
Well, and I just, you know, used the term pussy master at the end.
Yeah, it's a little
you know,
tag, you know, a little mwah
yeah,
at the end. That was
yeah,
good. I liked
it.
It.
My mother admitted that it was a good line and that it was able to.
Now, did she inquire as to what a pussy master is?
Well, she did, and I just told her that just meant I was very happy.
That, you know, I think that's a very nice, non-descriptive way
Well, and I would
of,
have to say that is what a sex-positive environment is, too. It's like everybody's really happy. You don't have to get into detail or graphic unless you just like it. And, you know, whatever with all of that.
Well, would you like to get into detail and graphic?
Not right now.
Oh, okay.
No.
That's not the point,
Bingo. That's a different show.
You know, no, it's just that I get distracted. You know?
And it's interesting to see the male-female perspective, like, on it. You know, I mean, we are wired differently, so. But the subject of the positive sexual environment, I agree. I mean.
Well, oh, that's what I think. Because it's like, and also the phase production is playing out in Hollywood and TV stuff is frequently you have a situation where the man is the pursuer and trying to get to second base or whatever, and the girl is like, oh no, and then she acquiesces, and this is, you know, this is often a scenario.
It becomes blurred lines.
Well, there's a lot to be said for consent and clear and like just hand and put it in your own pants if that's what you want. And girls should be encouraged to do that. Uh-oh, shit, this is rubbing.
Let me paint a picture for you.
Blessings.
The menopause. I'm sitting around the glass coffee table, if you will. And the wine, the red wine, is on the carpet.
Yeah.
Literally on the carpet because, I don't know, motor skills perhaps are slightly, I don't know, nobody's driving. We have the subway here and the bus and taxi, so don't worry about us. But I hope you enjoy the show.
I'm
yes, yes. So at any rate, that we just got derailed. But this whole show is probably a derailment. If the sound quality is not very good, it's because for some reason, after the test with the actual microphone and headphones, well, all of a sudden the USB port doesn't want to work. And so we're just using the laptop's microphone and speaker. So anyway, so it is what it is, and hang out with us. We're going to talk about a sex positive. I had never heard sex positive. I'd never heard that phrase probably until a couple of years ago. And what I took from it, and I never Googled it, I never looked at the Wikipedia, but I just kind of take just from the context and listening to people speak about a sex being sex positive, is that they aren't ashamed of their sexuality. They aren't ashamed of their bodies or what they want to do with them, with who they want to do them with, what, you know. So that's just my kind of take on it. Maybe somebody else has something more detailed, but I just feel like it's like no shame. And one of the things about being at Burning Man is, well, there's just no shame. You know, if you don't come home, see, there's a rule out there that says, you don't have to sleep where you camp. In other words, if you don't come home, you don't come home. And you know, there's that thing called the walk of shame, where you come home in the morning in the daylight hours, and you're wearing the same clothes you were wearing the night before. It's the walk of shame, and that's in the default world. Whereas Burning Man, there really isn't such a thing as the walk of shame, because there really is.
Well, yeah, because sexuality is part of radical self-expression, and it can fall under that, and also maybe radical inclusion, because you want to include a lot of folks in your sexuality, but it overlaps.
And radical self-reliance and radical inclusion are two of the 10 core principles at Burning Man. And they're two of my favorites. I mean, leave no trace. Yeah, let's not leave our garbage laying around. Moop, matter out of place, so to speak. But yeah, radical self-reliance. Water, bring your own food, bring your own recreational, bring your own Hitachi. Bring your stuff that you want. Radical self-expression. Wear a tutu, wear bunny ears, wear a utility kilt, wear whatever it is. Don't wear anything. Wear a couple of Band-Aids and a cork. I don't care. Wear whatever you want to wear. And, oh, yeah, always wear sunscreen. Kurt Vonnegut, yes. Kurt Vonnegut said wear sunscreen. So those are a couple of the core principles of Burning Man, and I think going there over the years has really helped me with the body shame and the whole, like, being free to express myself. And so that's probably the first place I heard the whole term sex positive, or a sex positive environment. You just heard it this year.
Yeah,
you heard it this afternoon?
Probably read it in the manual on my way out to the fly out on the Burner Expo. Mm-hmm. When I was coming to see you and looking at, you know, it's too late. I've been to the grocery store. I had everything I was going to bring.
I got my ticket.
Anyway, that's probably where I heard about it. And they had their little handout about what is consent and stuff, because you can't always guarantee that what means the same thing to one person is the same to another. And so
absolutely.
Trying to equalize that. And I thought that was good. Because it is kind of a contract between people, I guess. But anyway.
It would have to be a spoken contract between people.
No.
You'd have to, may I kiss you on the lips?
No.
May I put my hand on your chest?
No, I was at this conference on Play this weekend at 92nd Street Y, and there was this guy there. For preschool teachers. We believe in a play-based world and environment. And so Burning Man, there was this guy named Stuart Brown, and he's a psychologist. I think he's at Stanford right now. He had been down in Charles Whitman started shooting everybody on. Well, he did.
From the clock tower.
Yeah, bam, bam. First shooting like that.
Mass shooting in the 60s at the University of
Texas.
Anyway,
so he looked at that and was finding about play deprivation. But what he was saying about play is that the area of the brain that activates or that is activated during play or impulse is the cerebellum, which is our survival mechanism since play. And that And part of play is a survival mechanism, and Burning Man represents something he would call ritualized, because we have play, we have body play, there are all kinds of play. And in order to have a real community of equals, you've got to be able to play together. And that, I think, is sexuality is part of that. And it can be the most fun part of that. And it should have to be behind the barn.
Mm-hmm.
Behind
yeah,
the barn.
That's a really good point.
I mean, that's what my daddy said. Back in the day, you learned about sex behind the barn, where it belonged. You didn't go to school to learn about sex. You learned about it behind the barn, where it belonged.
Well, that's all well and good when you have farm animals. But for city kids, I guess it would be in the alley or on
the
stoop after midnight.
You have to hide what, you know, this is what's happening here. Yeah, I agree. I think this is definitely something of understanding how to play together, understanding that there is a respect and a oneness that we're going to have to get used to. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
You know, we're starting to understand that it's all matter and it's all consciousness and we all come from a source, and so to learn to play together and to pick up on those vibrations. I'm going to throw the word in again.
Yay.
You know, to pick up on what somebody else is really feeling and to be able as a woman also to put those sorts of feelings out. I think it's an interesting concept these days of a woman being, okay, so now we're considered equal, at least on the page and you know.
Not in the paycheck, but he's talking about.
Right, on the paycheck. But theoretically, okay, so we're all equal. So how, but yet there's still this feminine energy of being the receiver, the masculine energy of being the you know, the aggressor or the coming at you,
uh-huh.
Right? So then how do you balance that out and still feel like you're in your feminine goddess space and have that be a broader thing? Does that make sense? Like,
no, try again.
Okay.
They
don't call me the jigsaw for nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like goddess space.
No, okay. in their womanness, you know, just to be a woman. And to feel something and you want to do something, right? And
right.
Feel a sexual thing. And then instead of having sort of horror or something
right,
like that,
right.
To do that sexually and
be able to think what you want.
Right, exactly.
You need to be able to articulate what you want, because even knowing what your own body wants is being, you know, a slut from a family of sluts. And we're not supposed to act like that, and why not? Because if we had sex the way we wanted to have sex, it would not look like it does in the patriarchy. And as property and childbearing property and all of that, all this stuff about girls shouldn't be fucking around, in a matriarchal society when property passes through the mother, it doesn't really matter, and that's why the Kale Camp Festivals, where you fucking do you want to, and in fact you ought to if you want to genetically diversify the tribe.
Mm.
And we have all these campfire holidays that are fun about that, fully sex positive.
So this isn't a new concept.
No.
Just has a new name.
Just has a new name.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I am a little, I don't know what to say, because in my whole life when I was, I don't know, I've just never had I never felt like I was in a situation where I was like all being patriarchal and it's got to be my way or whatever. It was never like that. As far as I know, if any ex-lovers are listening, you can call in and let me know. Otherwise, I don't recall going through that. So, plus, of course, I never had the shame, right? Because if guys fuck a lot, well, hey, that's cool. But I never bought the bullshit that said if a girl fucks a lot, then she's some kind of whore. I'm like, no, that's...
Oh, a double standard.
I never bought into the double standard. And who knows where I got that? I don't know. Child of the 60s and 70s, and I was watching...
In your house?
Well, I was not trying to model after my parents.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was like looking at that thinking, well, that's not what I think is the way to go, right? The term's new to me, but the concept isn't new at all. It just seems like how normal nice people treat each other. And if I can ask for a little faster, I can ask, then why can't you?
Right.
Because it's a two-way street. And I always found that it works better if it goes both ways. Or it could be a three-way street or a five-way street. You know?
Some people are better at that than others. Some people are more receptive. I think that being able to receive that environment and not guard against it is also part of becoming comfortable in a sex-positive way, which I certainly haven't always been. I don't even know that I am now. It's just I decided to go in this way. And you know how it is. Just like go. And then the rest of you, know, just make it look like you are. And then you'll figure it out.
Oh, you're faking it.
You know, I'll figure it out as I go along. Just
yeah.
like Indiana Jones.
Right. Right. Sure.
That's the hero's journey.
Maybe we should mention that P.E. Nolan and I are a couple. So. There's
oh,
a thing
oh, you
here.
Want to say that?
Just in case people
it's
don't know.
Closer,
I know our
closer.
Friends that might be listening get it, but for like people are like, who are these?
Is
who are these people?
Is anybody in the chat room?
Oh, I don't even know. Shall we look? Shall we look?
Because
there is a chat room. Oh, look at that. We have a guest.
Oh,
1877.
Is he
Krell was up in here too. Hey, David. But he's not here now.
Oh,
I have no idea how this sounds because we're not using a regular microphone. So guests, oh, the guests can't use the chat room.
It sounds
it nice.
All right. If
it would be nice if we had some kind of sound check that maybe you could get on the telephone and call in and listen and see how.
Or what if
how
it
sounds
like from your room?
Yeah,
it sounds good.
Does
it sound right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So we were talking about what?
We were talking about being able to. If you can ask for something, why can't the woman ask for something?
Yeah.
And I think that's true, and that's always been my experience. You know, I think that's why I know this is not a lot of people's experience, and you either have dip into it a little bit, or maybe this is, you know, actually been like a real fear, like in your life as a woman, depending on your upbringing.
I don't know. It could be just because I was married, you know, and because we're not married.
I was married.
Briefly, you
brought
that briefly.
I spent 6 months soaking up.
One foot in, one foot shake it all about, get out.
Yeah.
That was our
hope. No, I was married for a long time. It totally changes your sexual trajectory.
Interesting, yeah.
It does. That's true.
And this is all about patriarchy. Just screwing you guys up for years and years and years.
I think that there is an undeniable patriarchal element in the oppression of women's sexuality because of property initially. And that goes back to tribal era Red Tent stuff. You read that book.
Okay. Well, how do we solve it?
I figure if everybody fucks a lot, then we would solve it.
Everybody will be so relaxed, you know, it'll
just
all just fall
into
place.
And it will come to it.
Well, there's a...
As it were.
A couple years ago, I met some folks who worked in the sex industry. They camped with us, and we had a couple of doms, a couple subs, and a switch. I don't know if these terms mean anything to you, but dom, sub, switch.
Yeah. Know about this stuff.
So I got interested in the BDSM community a little bit, and I made a profile over at, FetLife.com, and I was, like, talking to people and reading the frequently asked questions and all that. At any rate, I decided that wasn't my thing, but I thought it was interesting about the rules, and it's all about consent, and they use the word play, like the code word for, you know, tie you up and do this, or,
that's
know.
Just how they play?
Yeah, that's how they play, and everybody's got their own kink, and they use the term play, and I think that's probably a real appropriate term, though I've never played that way because it's not my thing.
But I do think they play differently out at Burning Man.
They play differently at Burning Man.
Burning Man plays differently. I think there's a lesson to be learned about play at Burning Man. Maybe it has something to do with hallucinogenic drugs in the environment.
Well, I'm sure that's the catalyst, but the fact that people go and enjoy and it's such an experience for them, it's definitely a different arena for play.
What I think it opens for that is the openness to intimacy, as opposed to, especially like here in New York City, you have to guard against intimacy all the time, like not make eye contact, don't talk to strangers, don't look at somebody who's next to you, even though it's like your nose is in their...
Where do you put your eyes?
Oh, God, yeah, when you're sitting and the crotch is right there, you know, and you have to just, like, no intimacy in those environments.
Well, that's interesting you say that, because I've been here 3 weeks now, and I tend to talk to people on the subway.
Well, yeah.
I talk to strangers. We passed the old man fishing off the Hudson today.
Yeah.
And I walked over and asked him what kind, looked at his fish in the bucket and asked him what kind. The people on the subway, I asked the guy which way is west when we were trying to find your apartment.
To you. Okay.
And when I talk to people, they're perfectly friendly and perfectly fine.
And they talk to you too. Okay, they're open to talk to you. And so what I'm suggesting is that, through Burning Man in that environment, there is an openness to intimacy that one doesn't typically experience in New York City among New Yorkers, which is why I went out there to meet you in the first place. Sex positive environment, because we don't necessarily have that openness to intimacy here. I don't know if it's an urban phenomenon or if it's everywhere. Look at Japan, where nobody even wants to fuck with having sex because of what they were saying.
I lost the Japan thing, but that's okay.
No, young people in Japan don't want to have sex anymore. It was Slate.
Well, you know, it was in Slate, so there.
When I asked Pizza, and Pizza said it was so.
Pizza lives in, he's a burner that lives in,
Pizza lives in Nagasaki, and I asked Pizza, and Pizza said it's true. And Pizza ought to know.
Especially when your name is Pizza Man. I mean, come on, who doesn't love Pizza?
Technically, it's the man.
Pizza Manster,
yes.
Even better.
Yes.
Wow.
So, I don't know. I find it hard to believe that people are really losing interest in sex in
Japan.
They
are. They are. They'd rather just, like,
play video games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is an interesting concept, though.
Because they don't want somebody interfering with their life, getting a majority or whatever.
Yeah, being, like, this, you know, sole piloter in your own man-o-island or woman-o-island, you know, and it's there's too much, so you put up this. That's an interesting...
But you put it up, that's a choice. You put it up.
I think it is a choice, sure.
Well, or it's up and you take it down, and that is a
right.
choice. You know?
Right, and I think
I vote for taking it down.
Yeah.
I vote for a world where everybody wakes up with sex, has sex at lunch, has sex at night, and then, again, early in the morning.
Yeah.
I think there would be no wars if everyone woke up with, say, an hour's worth of uninterrupted oral sex. There'd be no time for war.
I don't think you need to restrict it to oral sex.
Well, no. But I'm just saying, there would be no time to prepare for war and stealing other people's shit and oil and resources if there was more sex.
I think more sex is a good idea. I like the schedule that you offered. I have to say that even as old people, we've been able to sort of maintain that constant sex environment for a little while.
That's awesome.
Except for when the children visit.
Well, then you have to get creative.
Thank
God so they can just sort of go off elsewhere.
Goodbye, dear.
Why don't you put some headphones on really loud? Yeah. Okay, this isn't about the personal thing. Let's turn to Miss Tomasini here. Nicole Tomasini, which really sounds like an actress name, doesn't it?
Do you still do the I Love Nicole show?
Yeah, there's always sort of show happening.
So you're a single woman, and have you lived in a sex-positive lifestyle your whole life, or is it something that's new to you, or are you... Because it sounds to me like, Trish, P.E. Nolan, sounds to me like you're just starting to discover this kind of
the vocabulary.
The vocabulary and embracing the concept.
Well, and like Noam Chomsky says about transformational grammar and stuff.
Yes.
The vocabulary really makes a difference. And if you're using a vocabulary that's not designed by whole generations of patriarchal oppression, like, you know, like that word anarchist, that
right.
You get into it all the time, you know, but when the rulers are controlling the vocabulary, they control the whole dialogue and the whole discourse, and sex positive is not patriarchal. I mean, it could be, like, whatever, but I like...
Probably not, yeah.
Yeah, but I was getting a little lost again.
Yes, well, anytime you can mention Noam Chomsky and sex in the same paragraph,
what?
you might suspect some reaching. Just saying.
It was not about sex. It was about the vocabulary around sex.
Right, I understand. Yeah, I think it's what I think, and I can segue into my experience of growing up really in a European household here in Philadelphia in America. So there was really no hang-ups about sex.
Really?
Yeah, because my parents didn't, you know, and age and all these things. It's like, listen, just don't be a shithead, basically.
Right.
Don't fuck with your own life.
Or someone else's.
Right.
Follow the golden rule.
Right.
Do unto others as you would have them do to you.
Exactly.
This might explain something, though, because I grew up in a Southern Gothic environment, incestuous Southern Gothic environment, and so it was all set back and twisted that... Mm.
They start to teach
other defensive ways of looking at it. And I mean, that's all it is. It's just...
Benatar saying, stop using sex as a weapon. I loved that song. And I would... Women. But that was the 80s.
What song is that?
Oh.
Sex as a Weapon by Pat Benatar.
Oh, I've never heard that song. Right?
Well, there's a lot of songs.
Speaking of songs,
yes. I think we need to take a break and reassess our trajectory here. We have a half hour left in the Sunday show, sitting around drinking wine, smoking cigarettes.
And mentioning Daughters of Isis and Roundtree 7.
Well, you mentioned Daughters of Isis and Roundtree 7.
I did.
Oh, she did. We'll be back in not 2 and 2, but 2 and then 1.5.
Vinderella cut it up one time. Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
Let's talk about sex for now. To the people at home or in the crowd, it keeps coming up anyhow. Don't be coy, avoid, or make void the topic, cause that ain't gonna stop it. Now we talk about sex on the radio and video show. Many will know anything goes. Let's tell it like it is and how it could be. How it was and of course how it should be. Those who think it's dirty have a choice. Pick up the needle, press pause, or turn the radio off. Will that stop us, Pat?
I doubt it.
Alright then, come on, spin.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you.
Make any man's eyes pop. She uses his guy to get whatever she don't got. Fellas droop like fools, but then again, they're only human. The chick was a hit because her body was booming. Gold, pearl, rubies, crazy diamonds. Nothing she wore was ever common. Her dates, heads of state, men of taste, lawyers, doctors. No one was too great for her to get with or even mess with. The press, she says, was next on her list. And believe me, you, it's as good as true. There ain't a man alive that she couldn't get next to. She had it all in the bag. She should have been glad, but she was mad and sad and feeling bad, thinking about the things that she never had. No love, just sex, followed next with a check and a note that last night was so, so, so.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex.
Louder now, help me out.
Come on, all the ladies.
Let's talk about sex.
cap. I don't think they're gonna play this on the radio.
And why not? Everybody have sex.
I mean, everybody should be making love.
Come on, how many guys you know make
love? Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
Like it. Let's talk about sex. Salt and pepper. Use permission, of course. So, added bonus if you know what the sample is. All right, I'll just tell you. Staple Singers, I'll take you there. At any rate, it is the Sunday show, a little different than normal Sunday shows on Here Be Monsters. Well, the regular monsters aren't. And
I like to talk about current events.
Yeah, well, let's talk about current sex. Kinky. I'll just say this before. Very positive sex with a song. It's not. And I think it's a real positive song, and I've liked it for, I don't know, 20 years now. But then, just a couple years ago, we had all the single ladies. All the single ladies, if you like it, you better put a ring on it like it's your fucking chattel, your property. Like, oh, if you don't put a ring on it, somebody else is going to have sex with it. I never liked the idea that, like, this is my wife, this is my girlfriend, and this is the last you're ever going to have. Can I say that? Is my property thing, and I always thought it was kind of like backwards, and I don't know what. Well, actually, I think I know where I got it from. I got it from reading Playboy magazine in the 60s through the 70s into the early 80s, and all that whole sexual revolution thing. But it's interesting that song was 20, 22 years ago, whatever it was, and then Single Ladies, which has a totally different connotation, by Beyonce.
Well, okay. All right, but let's look at commodities and commodification, and it brings us back to the 10 principles of Burning Man.
That is one of the 10 principles of non-commodification.
Yeah, and what that, in that song, it commodified the pussy. And typically you're encouraged to do that in a lot of ways, particularly for good breeding stock. And when you are, when you know your property and your race is property, and that's just the way. Anyway, it's how it works.
Well, I'm down with OPP because, well, you
OPP,
know me.
I forgot what
that is. That is other people's property.
Other people's property.
You down with OPP?
Well,
yeah,
that is
you know
like
me.
You get shot doing that. We're in your neighborhood.
What you know, Nicole? You should see her face. Did you not know what OPP was?
Watching the exchange, I kind of feel like I'm watching a show, you know.
Oh, well, yeah, it's the Sunday show. It, in your room, on the cart, around the glass table.
Oh, no. And on the floor from where I kicked over that bottle of wine.
It's great. That's why you have a shitty carpet. That's why I have not changed it, because it's good to not have to care about something.
Right.
And let it do whatever it's going to do, you know.
So, Nicole, are you gonna make it out to Burning Man sometime?
I would love to.
You would.
I would love
for the art or for the sex positive environment.
For the all of the above, which is what the vibration of the whole, whatever these people are doing together in this space, this year, this time, and whatever I happen to come into contact with, and that would be. I mean, that sounds like a great adventure.
Well, especially from an existential perspective, like Eckhart Tolle and the power of now. And so from that perspective and along, let's take it on back to Sartre and Camus and whoever came before that I forget, but Woody always knows those answers.
It's the now circuit.
Yeah.
It's
the now circuit. Yeah. They have a thing. They have a thing at Burning Man. They talk about immediacy.
Yeah,
being in the moment, immediacy. But I think the now circus is
yeah.
I like that. I'm gonna
yeah,
remember
but,
that.
But I mean,
one.
What better than to when like go out there and whatever you make, like burn and burn it down to just this is we all we have is now, and make the most of it.
And you have 7 days.
Yeah, and I like this idea of this, you know, it's this environment that is geared towards that for a finite amount of time, 7 days, and it's your adventure that you can go on, and knowing that if you're going to be able to have interesting now experiences and just be in the now, it sounds like a great environment for that, because there's a lot of different places, it seems, that you can go to or find yourself in. Obviously, people and their whatever they're doing.
Whatever.
The Orgy Dome is Thunderdome. Two totally different domes. One has orgies, one has Mad Max fighting.
And whoever you're going to meet in between when you're looking for water or you need the, you're over here. But that's the thing of, I think that's what we live here in New York,
yeah.
Coming back to what you were talking about your perspective. Like here in New York, there's so many possibilities for moments, no matter what. And so you really... For now, you can really make it whatever it is, whatever you want it to be. But yet, this is, it's also a more controlled environment, and it's also very society, and you need to be on the alert all the time. It's a totally different vibration.
Here. It is the default world, and you learn to be defensive about all, you live in a fear-based world. You have to be defensive, because if you talk to that guy, he's going to ask you for money, and you're too afraid to just to say no. I don't know. I get it that maybe it's maybe different for a guy, but I feel really comfortable talking to strangers here, and I've never had a bad interaction with a stranger. The only negative interaction I've had by talking to a stranger was on the subway one day, and it wasn't bad. I just thought, oh, he's a nutcase. Fuck him.
Mm-hmm.
We were sitting cuddled up on the one train or the A train, whatever. And this guy looks over at us and he says, "You two married?" I said, "No, we're just together." And he goes, "Oh, well, when you're together, it's really disrespectful for a woman to look at another man." I'm like, it came out of nowhere because
I had made eye contact with him and he sat down, but he was like sitting down, waving his jacket, making sure everybody could look at him.
We were 4 feet from him, right across from each other.
And look at him like and he goes and says about, and then he starts telling me the next day about pimp culture. I'm like, how the hell does anybody know about pimp culture?
Well, here's the thing about that, like if the horses are on the track. And there's a pimp on one side of the street with his little stable of fillies, and there's another one on the other side. If you work for pimp A, you do not make eye contact with pimp B. That's like asking to be taken away from pimp A and some shit on the side. Yeah, and so the guy's looking at her, and then he's basically telling me that she's being disrespectful because she looked at her. Now, rather than make anything out of it, I was like, oh, I just thought to myself, you're just a backwards patriarchal motherfucker, and we're not going to solve it with a conversation, and that's the end of the conversation. Thank you for your input. And I just let it go. Well, 2 days later, it was still bubbling up in Trisha's head, and we ended up talking about it for a couple of days. But she's sensitive to that kind of patriarchal thing.
And she's a woman.
And she's a woman. But
it's a whole different vibration.
I don't find an interaction like that wasn't particularly like pleasant. I don't find that to be reason enough not to make eye contact or interact with other people.
I agree.
Because all the other interactions have been just fine and dandy.
I totally agree. Absolutely. And it's just something that I find that, women have to seem to think more about things, and also we're used to a certain way of being treated, and also it's in our genetics that we have been, that's part of what is in there.
Well, look at popular culture. But did you see on Yahoo, I don't mean to just jump right in.
That's all right.
There was this picture on Yahoo, you're going to remember, it's an actor who's the shower, and Dick was hanging down his pants, and you see it. And he was upset. He was upset at being objectified.
Because they were talking about his dick instead of the new movie he was in.
And all the women were like, oh,
welcome to the club.
Exactly. Well, that's like all the white people down at Occupy all upset about being oppressed by capitalism.
Yeah.
And then the people of color are like, well, yeah, welcome to the club.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, but again, I think it is a choice, and it is, like you said, you know, you choose to put up the walls, you don't. And I think this is why we're talking about this, why this is a now topic, because now women know you can make a choice. And yes, you may think these things, but let that go. And then, and be whatever you have, be your own vibration.
Exactly
what you want to be.
That's how you have.
And learn how to work well with your fellow inmates on this subway, on this street, whatever.
Yeah.
I cut both of you off.
No. We've been speaking a lot. I'd prefer to hear what you have to say. Well, we should mention KinkySalon.com.
Okay, go ahead.
Sounds like a good idea.
So at Burning Man, our village was our theme camp was Sideshow. It was one of several theme camps in a village called Illumination Village. 300 people in the village. You need somebody to like keep it all together and plan and get assistance to help plan. Anyway, our mayor, Polly. Funny enough, her name is Polly. Polly has been running something called Kinky Salon. You can check out it at kinkysalon.com. I believe in the Castro district for 13 years, and from what I can tell by reading the frequently asked questions and looking at the pictures, these are theme-based parties once a month. There's a cover charge, and there's rules. You can't come single, and it doesn't matter what the rules are. You can read them for yourself. But it looks basically like a sex party for sex-positive people, and it's fun, really encouraging that this kind of stuff is going on. Years ago or years ago, but this kind of stuff is going on. There are people who are sexually liberated who aren't carrying around a bunch of shame that they picked up from the Pope or from their nuns at school or from some bullshit from their childhood about what society says you should or shouldn't be doing with your body. I find it really cool that people are doing this. I'm not sure what my participation will be in the future, but I'm just saying, I think it's cool and I think it's helpful. And maybe if folks are listening, maybe they should look into something like kinkysalon.com or things like that, or the FetLife.com. And you might find out that there's all sorts of people who are willing to play and don't have judgments.
Maybe you won't. They may be fucking crazy, but at least you'll have a good story or two.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you might just get a good story or two.
Yeah, like it'll be a good time. What if it is hair raising and you need to have for the hills? Go on there.
At least you're together.
Yeah,
you
you're
know?
Doing something.
Yeah,
you're doing
checking
something.
Out.
It's got
to
be better than sitting around watching Honey Boo Boo.
Totally.
And like Home and Garden shows. And oh, which house are they going to buy? Is this one, that one, or that one? That one's better price. I don't know. I think they should charge door number two. And this is nonsense. And there's a whole bunch of life to live out there. And these bodies we have are the fucking greatest instruments that anybody could ever have. And then the fact that most of us aren't using them to their full potential, I think, well, is a crying shame.
Well, of course the miracle says that our bodies...
Well, let's bring Jesus into this. What does Jesus say in the Course of Miracles about a sex-positive environment? Leave it to Trish to bring Noam Chomsky and Jesus to Blog Talk Radio.
We can treat others the way you would like to be treated yourself.
Our body is our greatest tool for communication. And if we're put on the earth to get a relationship with each other, and in that love is the only way that we'll ever even understand whatever this thing called God is that love thing. And anyway, Jesus is all for that fucking thing because if that's how our bodies connect,
yeah, and go for it.
Well, yeah.
You heard it here on the Sunday show. Jesus is all for that fucking thing.
That's awesome.
You got that?
But
what would Jesus do?
But that's what
Jesus says, I'm not a player. I just fuck a lot.
And free the words. That's one thing I wanted to get in here. Free the words.
Free the words.
The word fucking. Free the word pussy. Let it be whatever as. You know, just as a consciousness, wherever your mind goes is what the word means, you know?
Well, and that is, at essence, well, anyway, there was some transformational grammar in there.
The school teacher's coming out again.
You know, well, the whole...
But it's true.
The meaning that is on the word. And if you liberate it from the patriarchal implication that it's come down in an oppressive manner so that you can't be fucking, when Jesus said you better be fucking.
Fruitful and multiply.
You know,
or just fruitful.
Or just simply fruitful. Do not necessarily multiply. And
thank
be
you.
Sustainable, children. I don't know if that's what you
I'm all for sustainable fucking.
Yes, sustainability in all its forms.
Well, enjoyment is a great
enjoyment
tool.
Or enjoyment?
Either or both and in between. Yeah.
Just yeah, you know, I just catch things.
He does.
But if you enjoy it, it's sustainable. And, you know, we're all, at the end of the day, and again, another word that I feel needs to be freed is the word love. We, in the English language, only have one word for this gigantic subject, which is love. There are so many other cultures that have so many words that mean different parts of love. So let's free the word love when we say, well, at the end of the day, we all just want love. I feel like has been somehow like some part of it is sort of like
Hallmark artificial
Teletubby, like
Teletubby.
Yeah, like pastel colored bears running around, and then it's gay and retarded, not gay in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, it's just goofy and whatever, right? It's like, what do you? But come on, man. At the end of the day, everyone just wants love. And everyone wants to have a good life, love what they're doing, and enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we're all looking for?
Well,
so,
hell yeah.
You know,
and
make
if,
that banner.
Well, yeah. Well, if Chris Hedges has been saying for all this time, we're at the decline, we're on the handbasket, this is it, graveyard dead, 40 years, all extinct, seas are rising, whatever.
Janelle says that, too.
Well, everybody says that.
So conclusion, since we're all doomed,
is to be fucking more.
Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Hey, women.
More.
So I think, you know, we got about 7 minutes left. And I think what we've decided is that the takeaway from all this is to fuck more and shame less.
Yes. And free the words, man.
Free the words.
Free the words.
You know, realize that these words are, they can be as small or as broad as you want them to be. So when we throw these words around, you know, not to jump to the first conclusion that you're supposed to. Each person means that the word can be. Hence, you using pussy and your mother getting upset about it. Well, how do you think I meant the word? There's a lot of different genres to it, you know?
Well, I think she knew pretty well what I meant by pussy.
Well,
all right. She was upset.
Well,
all right.
You know, good press, bad press.
nice girls from Texas do not announce on the interwebs that they have found a pussy master.
Right,
and that was you know.
Free the South, man. Free your mind in the South.
Free your mind.
Free
your
mind.
Ass will follow.
Good one, Pinko. Good one.
Blind. Don't be so shallow. Yeah, I think like people like to give Hugh Hefner a hard time. He's exploiting women and putting them in these costumes. And they have to learn the bunny dip and all this, but the man did an enormous amount of activist work and paid for lawyers and ACLU and la 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 and free speech and really the articles I read growing up in the 60s, late 60s, and then all through the 70s when I was a kid, the stuff that I read in that magazine I think gave me a very healthy outlook on sex. And I would say it served me well, and I don't hurt anybody, and we have a good time, and I don't have any weird, like, hang-up, and I don't think it's just because I'm a guy. I think it's because I was taught differently as a kid.
Well, and, hallelujah. it's working for me.
Oh. Great response.
Yeah.
You like the way I'm working?
I know, I
no diggity, no doubt.
You know, red sex is best.
Red, oh, that's the other thing. Yeah. Red sex is best. And we're not talking Republican red. We're talking pink Okami red. So.
We're talking red. In the
red.
Old school red.
Yeah, old school red.
Old school.
So we have like 5 minutes and 22 seconds. We could I could just play us out with one more song from the 80s about sex. Any closing thoughts before I find the song, if it's here somewhere?
I'll throw in my catchphrase of love yourself, love the world.
Love yourself, love the world. Fine words by Nicole Tomasini. Pete Nolan.
I can't remember.
Peggy Nolan, she may have become intoxicated over the last couple of hours.
She's not a menopausal stoner for nothing, man.
Yeah.
She lives up to the name, and it's so much fun.
Yeah.
It's all fun.
All right, friends and neighbors, it has been the Sunday show. It's a different variety. It's so of color, and we appreciate you tuning in. And us ramble on. Oh, yes, we got to make your daughter's life. No.